In the midst of history's most consequential cultural collision, a young Indigenous woman stood as the sole bridge between worlds. Born during a torrential rainstorm with her umbilical cord wrapped like a serpent around her neck, an omen from Quetzalcoatl himself, Mala Nali was destined for an extraordinary fate. Her grandmother, performing the sacred birth ritual, prophetically declared that her word would have eyes and see, would have ears and hear. This prophecy would define her life as she became the voice that shaped the Spanish conquest of Mexico. But who was this woman beyond the labels of traitor or heroine? Laura Esquivel's masterful reimagining invites us into Mala Nali's rich inner world, revealing how one woman's journey mirrored the birth of an entire nation. But who was this woman beyond the labels of traitor or heroine? Laura Esquivel's masterful reimagining invites us into Mala Nali's rich inner world, revealing how one woman's journey mirrored the birth of an entire nation. Mala Nali's grandmother, though physically blind, possessed extraordinary spiritual sight. "I see what is behind things," she would tell the young girl. "I can't see your face, but I know you are beautiful. I can't see your codices, but I see them through your words." This teaching established Mala Nali's understanding that true vision comes from within. When her mother abandoned her at 5 after remarrying, Mala Nali took only essentials: jade jewelry, embroidered hoop piles, and precious corn grains harvested with her grandmother. These kernels became her spiritual anchors through life's upheavals. For her, corn embodied humanity's essential connection. As long as men recognized they were sons of the corn, they would understand their sameness despite differences. This foundation would be tested when bearded strangers arrived on Mexico's shores. Were they the prophesied return of Quetzalcoatl? While Montezuma's empire trembled under 8 terrible omens, Mala Nali saw opportunity. After being baptized as Marina, she found comfort connecting the Christian deity to Quetzalcoatl and the Virgin Mary to Tonantzin, creating bridges between seemingly disparate traditions. Everything changed when Mala Nali became the tongue, Cortez's translator between Spanish and Nahuatl. In a society where women kept their eyes lowered and spoke only when addressed, this role gave her unprecedented power. Men looked into her eyes and waited for her words. She discovered that controlling information gave her influence. Words are weapons that can unite or divide like warriors. This position brought profound moral dilemmas. Should she translate faithfully or shape meanings to ensure survival? Her understanding of language was spiritual. She saw the mouth as a feminine principle containing creation, while the tongue acted as a masculine principle delivering meaning. The crisis point came when a woman in Cholula warned her of a planned ambush against the Spaniards. If the Spaniards fell, she would surely be killed, but betraying Cholula meant betraying a sacred site of Quetzalcoatl. This moral crucible would forever define her legacy, transforming her from translator to a pivotal figure in Mexico's conquest. The relationship between Mala Nali and Cortez embodied the conquest's complex power dynamics. Their first intimate encounter occurred during a river washing scene where spiritual and carnal desires clashed. As Mala Nali shared her deep spiritual connection to water, "Our God gives us eternal life. Hidden in water is the truth," Cortez responded with raw physical desire, deaf to her sacred knowledge. Mala Nali discovered an unexpected solace in physical submission, finding it paradoxically liberating compared to the responsibility of shaping destiny through words. Their relationship evolved through moments of unexpected tenderness, particularly during a purification ritual in a temazcal, where cultural barriers temporarily dissolved. As their connection deepened, Mala Nali gained insight into Cortez's psychological makeup. She observed his perpetual dissatisfaction, a hunger no conquest could satisfy. Her insight that this man is insatiable proved prophetic as she watched him move from victory to victory without finding peace, recognizing an emptiness in him that could only be temporarily filled by conquest. The massacre at Cholula marked Mala Nali's spiritual death. Cortez gathered 3,000 Cholutican nobles in Quetzalcoatl's temple, supposedly for a farewell ceremony. Once inside, Spanish soldiers barred the doors, while Cortez accused them of treachery that Molinali translated with a trembling voice. For hours, Spanish soldiers methodically murdered the trapped Indians while Molinali crouched in a corner, her white hoopill speckled with blood. The slaughter lasted 2 days, claiming 6,000 lives. Though physically unharmed, she was spiritually eviscerated, her once bright eyes now dull mirrors of horror. At the river, she found Cortez's blood-stained horse drinking from crimson waters. She cleaned its legs, watching the water turn pink. In its dark eyes, she saw her own terror reflected. Neither she nor this beast remained the same. Watching blood-spattered butterflies flutter past, she wept without tears, seeking refuge in memories of her grandmother showing her migrating monarchs. That childhood wisdom, a still body limits itself, a body in movement expands, now seemed both vital and impossible to embrace. After Tenochtitlan's fall, Molinali found redemption through motherhood. In Coyoacan, she gave birth to Cortez's son, discovering fulfillment in creating a life bridging two worlds. She embroidered a princely cape for her newborn, with feathers, cotton, jade, and shells, symbols from both her ancestral traditions and new reality. During an expedition to Higueras, Cortez betrayed her by forcing her marriage to Juan Jaramillo during a drunken celebration. Humiliated, Molinali ventured into the jungle and pierced her tongue with an agave thorn, vowing it would never again serve conquest. Yet this betrayal yielded unexpected joy. With Jaramillo, she built a peaceful life in a home blending spiritual traditions. Their patio featured four fountains at cardinal points, with canals forming a silver cross, inspired by both Jaramillo's memories of the Alhambra and Molinali's connection to Tula. Their garden merged European and Mexican plants, embracing their mestizo origins. When Cortez later sought testimony for his trial, Molinali refused. "I am no longer your tongue, Lord Malinche." She had found her own voice beyond being history's interpreter. Molinali's final spiritual journey led her to Tepeyac Hill, where she connected with Tonantzin and prayed for her mestizo children to be protected from feeling inferior or knowing hatred. She buried her grandmother's necklace and corn rosary, symbolically releasing her past. In this profound transformation, she realized her eternal nature, that she would continue existing in water, stars, corn tortillas, wind, and the new city rising from Tenochtitlan's ruins. Returning home at peace, she spent her final night with family before experiencing mystical dissolution, becoming Water of the Moon as her spirit merged with the cosmos. She died on the 13th day of the month, the same date marking Tenochtitlan's fall, completing a cycle that would define Mexico's mestizo identity. Molinali's legacy shows that during cultural collision, the most revolutionary act may be creating spaces where different worlds coexist through translation and understanding rather than domination. Her story transcends binary judgments of traitor or heroine, revealing a woman who navigated impossible circumstances with spiritual resilience, helping birth not just children, but an entirely new cultural identity that continues evolving today.